Welcome to Big Papa Rob's podcast story rewind, The Missing. I'm Big Papa Rob. Each of my stories are about one of the many missing people out there. I rewind the story of a missing person in hopes that someone will hear their story and can share information to help find them. There is always someone who knows something that can help find these missing persons. The person we're going to talk about today is Charles Robert Steele, known as Bobby by friends and family. Bobby went missing April 11th, 2023. I have my wonderful co-host and wife, Mandy, with us again. Say hi, Mandy.
Hi.
Mandy, as you know, this is the story of Charles Robert Steele. As I've said earlier, the family and friends always called him Bobby. I came across Bobby's story from TikTok when I saw a video his sister had posted. This story is a little different than most of the stories because I found out about Bobby. He was already found deceased. After hearing his sister's story about Bobby, I felt his story needed to be told. Let's rewind this story to Bobby's earliest beginning. Charles Robert Steele was born November 25, 1979, to Pamela and Charles Steele. He had two sisters, Kelly and Sarah. Bobby grew up in Newark, Delaware. As a kid, Bobby had a true passion for playing baseball and may have had a chance of making it big someday. But unfortunately, he had an accident in his teens that left him with severe burns that ultimately ended his dreams of playing baseball. Bobby graduated from Glasgow High School.
Bobby was described as being able to lighten up a room with his presence, with stories and jokes, and he was willing to help anyone and had a heart of gold when it came to others. Bobby started struggling with painkillers, which led to other substances after his burn injuries in his teens. When Bobby was in his 20s, his substance abuse became worse. He ended up serving some time in jail for a burglary charge and at least one other time. When he got out the last time, he knew he needed to make a change and he found work in the construction field. In 2017, he meets a woman named Leah, who appeared to be a bad influence on him, and that led him to some abuse, and they ended up homeless in Elkton, Maryland. Around 2018 or 2019, he disappeared, and no one heard from him for a couple of years. Kelly went to report him missing, but she said the Elkton police would not take a missing person report because the police actually knew of him, and they said he was the nicest homeless person they knew. Okay, so according to what his sister Kelly was told, they said that Bobby was the nicest homeless person they knew. So if they knew him, why did they not tell her like where they had seen him or when was the last time they saw him? Or did any of that ever happen?
Well, he did. He wouldn't tell her where he was because being an adult, he could do what he wanted. But she did ask them to give him a message to call her.
Did that happen?
At some point, I believe that did happen.
Okay. So around 2022, before Bobby went missing, he was living in a homeless shelter working with a counselor on getting a home forever voucher and was clean from drugs. In early 2023, Bobby had established regular contact with his sister Kelly again, Kelly received a message on March 20th, 2023.
Mandy, I'm going to play Kelly's message. She recorded it on TikTok, and I took a clip of it to put in our podcast. This message is very disturbing.
Please listen. Kelly, will you please give me a call when you get a chance? It's kind of urgent. I know that you are very busy, and I respect that. It's just that I broke up with Leah today, and it's finished. Also, I am in between places to live at the moment, so I'm on the street, literally. Please understand that I am not asking you for money or anything else. I am a grown man, and I am currently waiting for paperwork, basically for a place to live of my own, which will be subsidized. So I will take care of all of that. What I am asking you to do is simply call me on a messenger video call for whichever app you choose. Let me know. Like every couple of days for a quick call in order for you to acknowledge that I'm alive and well. Remember when you were trying to find me? You thought something maybe happened to me or something didn't sit right with you. I think you were absolutely right. And I think that there may be more than a few people involved and a little more to it, but I don't care to figure any of it out. I just need to make sure people know that I have a family that will look for me if I disappear. That in itself should be sufficient because I'm sure people without that and from another state and with my kind of past are exactly who they target. No need for anyone to panic, but Kelly, please do this for me if you are able. I love you, sis. I always have and I always will. Even though I was a piece of shit most of my life, I'm not one now. Please understand I'm not playing around or anything. So if you are not able to video call me for a minute or two every couple of days, please let me know so I can at least try to find another way to get out of Maryland.
Unfortunately, this message came in while she was at the airport fixing to fly out of town. She sent Bobby a message telling her that she was flying out of town for a few days. Did she want her son to reach out to him or maybe the aunt? And he told her, no, it's all right. Just holler at me when you get back in town. When she returned home April 1st, she messaged Bobby to let him know she was back home and made a plan to pick him up in Elkton. On April 5th, the day she was supposed to pick him up, she couldn't get a hold of Bobby. April 7th, Bobby contacted Kelly and told her that his ex-girlfriend Leah had smashed his phone trying to prevent Kelly from picking him up. He went on to explain that he'd gotten another phone. They played phone tag till April 9th. They talked a few minutes, and Kelly decided to arrange to pick Bobby up after talking to her husband. On the ride home, Bobby told him all about the issues he was having with his ex. Bobby was so grateful to be at Kelly's home. He went on to talk about thanking her husband for allowing him to come into the home and being able to take a shower, and he was apologetic because he made a mess of the shower because he'd been homeless for several days. But all intents and purposes, he was so thankful to be there.
On April 11th, Kelly drove Bobby back to Elkton to get his housing voucher signed, and that was a fiasco. It required the counselor that he had been working for to pressure all the people that needed to sign off on this housing voucher. Later that evening at 5:58 p.m., Bobby left the house in a t-shirt and a few of his things. It appeared that he would be coming back shortly. In interviews, Kelly talks about the fact that he left only wearing a t-shirt because it still gets a little chilly there in April. Looking back at the weather that day, it got down to 48 degrees. So I see why she stresses this. Being just in a t-shirt and it's kind of chilly, you would at least want a light jacket or something. And the things of his that he left at the house was his sweatshirt, which he surely would have put on if he wasn't coming back later that night. About 2 hours after he left, he called Kelly on Facebook Messenger. She was upset with him over just leaving without saying anything. And according to Kelly, Bobby thought this was funny, and they bantered back and forth about this. And Kelly asked him, where did he go? Bobby responded saying, I told you I was meeting my boy Courtney on Market Street, and repeated this a couple of times, even though he hadn't told her where he was going that night. He also made a point to say they were on a video call out loud, as if for someone to hear this nearby, even though they weren't. Of course, hindsight is always 20/20. Kelly thinks that the fact that he said they were on a video call, even though they weren't, and the fact that he repeated twice where he was and who he was with, very important information.
Later that night, Kelly tried to get a hold of Bobby, but messages went unanswered, and this was the last time Kelly heard from Bobby. Knowing her brother, she didn't immediately go to the police or social media to report him missing. The next day, she went to the homeless shelter and spoke with the counselor that she had met the day before to see if he had heard from Bobby, but he hadn't. After about 18 days of not hearing from Bobby, Kelly went to social media, posting to Bobby's Facebook and asking if anyone had heard from him. On May 2nd, Kelly went to the Delaware State Police to report him missing, but she couldn't file a missing persons report and was told that she would have to go to the Newcastle County to report him missing since he was missing from her home. When she called the Newcastle County Police, they wouldn't take a report and told her that he's an adult and can come and go as he wants. She tried to explain his situation, but it didn't help, and they wouldn't take the report. With nowhere else to turn, she went to Elkton, Maryland police, along with the counselor from the homeless shelter, and they took a police report. Thankfully, the Elkton detective put Bobby's information in the national database along with his DNA sample. She was told by others that she should try to get Newcastle County to look into this since that's where he went missing from. But again, no help, especially because she had gone to the Elkton police. Kelly said that she was actually told by a superior police officer, what do you expect me to do about it? They absolutely refused to help, even though he went missing in their county.
During this time, Kelly did everything that she could to get Bobby's information out. She fought to get information on the news, but no one wanted to do a news story on a missing homeless person. By May 3rd, Kelly took to TikTok to try and get information out to the public. Going through this, she learned there were more missing people considered to be homeless in this same area, especially Cecil County, where Elkton, Maryland is. Other family members of missing people that mysteriously were found deceased in these areas started reaching out to her through social media, letting her know she wasn't alone in her search. Bobby's skeletal remains were found on February 16, 2024, in Wilmington, Delaware. His remains were found inside what is called a pipe chase, inside the wall of a building that was being demolished. This space is described as being 12 to 24 inch space between the walls where plumbing and electrical lines are run from floor to floor in the building. According to Kelly, he was found between the fifth and sixth floor with his arms down by his side. He had on his shirt that he was last seen in, shoes, and part of his pants. The remainder of his pants were found on the fourth floor in a bathroom. According to Kelly, there is little to no movement on this investigation. Speculation around the case is that Bobby hid in the cable chase to keep from getting caught trespassing. This sounds like a good go-to if you don't want to investigate this case. According to Kelly, she says that her brother would not have been afraid of a trespassing charge. Furthermore, I would like to think if there was any risk of trespassing charge, that would mean the police would have a record of going to that building the night Bobby went missing.
Remember early on when Kelly tried to report her brother missing to the Newcastle County Police and they wouldn't take the report? Guess what county Wilmington, Delaware is in? That's right, Newcastle County. Even though he has not now been found in Newcastle County, they still don't want to spend any time investigating this case. I did a quick search and found that you can see all of Newcastle, Delaware's traffic cameras locations online. I will put the website in the show notes in case you want to go look at it. Assuming that he walked to North Market Street and then ended up at 601 Delaware Avenue, which is the building he was found in, it would have only taken about 2 to 2.5 hours to walk. Just 2 hours to reach Market Street, which lines up with the timing of the last conversation Kelly had with Bobby after he left her house. Now, using that route, overlaying the Newcastle camera map, I see three cameras that could potentially have captured something. It wouldn't have been too hard to review these cameras if they had taken the missing person report when Kelly tried to report Bobby missing. Using the simple process I used, we know he left his sister's house at 5:58 p.m. based on the Ring doorbell footage. He would have arrived at about 8 p.m. on Market Street, give or take 30 minutes, meaning that he would have probably reached the first camera by 8 p.m. Now, granted, on the last phone call from Bobby to Kelly, we know he met someone on Market Street. We just don't know where exactly that was. From what I could tell, there's a North Market Street, which makes more sense to be where he would have gone, that has two cameras, and one other camera after Market Street turns into Philadelphia Pike. If he had gone to South Market Street, it would have taken him quite a bit longer to walk that distance, and it also has two cameras on that stretch of road.
Okay, the directions and these roads and the length of time it could have taken him or should have taken him to walk these distances and stuff, it's just, it's all getting confusing to me.
I got something to help that. Here, Mandy, here's a map of the overlay that I was talking about shows the Google's recommended walking path from the sister's house to Market Street and onto the building where he was found. What I'll do is I'll put that map in my reel that I'll post on social media telling about this podcast.
Okay.
It's sad that we'll probably never know what happened and how Bobby ended up in the wall of an abandoned building. I wanted to address something else. In following Kelly on TikTok, she has mentioned that there's been several people that are homeless or near homelessness that are disappearing from Cecil County and Newcastle area. Using NamUs, search just two of these counties, there are currently 40 missing persons cases active on NamUs, 7 from Cecil and 33 from Newcastle. Now, I don't have any way to verify how many of these are homeless persons. The average age of these missing persons is 32 years old, ranging from 1 to 57 years old. These cases go back to between 1952 and 1920. I also did an unidentified person search for the same two counties looking at unidentified persons found deceased. And between these two counties, there are 15 people. If the Elkton detective hadn't gotten DNA from Kelly when they were working on Bobby's case and entered it in the national database, Bobby's remains would probably be listed on this unidentified persons list. As we end this story today, I'm still left with what was Bobby afraid of when he sent the message to his sister at the end of March? What was the cryptic message he was trying to tell his sister on their last phone conversation about Market Street and the person he was meeting? And why did Newcastle Police Department refuse to take a missing persons report, claiming he didn't meet the criteria of a missing persons? I looked up Delaware Crime and Criminal Procedure, Subchapter 2, Missing Persons, Section 8532, Original Complaint. I want to read part of this. A missing person complaint may be made to any county, town, city, or state law enforcement agency, or any other appropriate state agency. The law enforcement agency having primary jurisdiction over the verified location where a missing person was last seen shall be responsible for receiving a missing person's complaint and initiating the law enforcement agency having primary jurisdiction over the missing person's last known place of residence shall be responsible for receiving a missing person's complaint and initiating the investigation. My personal opinion, Newcastle County needs to reread this code when deciding to refuse to take a missing persons report. If you or someone you know are homeless and don't know where to find help, according to US.gov, you can call 211 from anywhere in the United States to get help finding a homeless shelter near you. If you or someone you know is struggling with substance abuse and/or mental health issues, you can call 1-800-662-HELP. The stories I tell about the missing, I hope arms you with new information about these missing persons that might lead to help finding them. Additionally, I hope that you will share the information about these people in hopes that by sharing, it may lead to locating these people. As with almost all missing person cases, there is someone out there that knows something. Please come forward and contact the authorities. Once again, I'm Big Papa Rob, and this was an independent podcast called Story Rewind. Story Rewind is written and produced by Big Papa Rob. Story editing is done by Mandy. I couldn't have done this without the support of my wonderful wife, Mandy, aka Big Mama. For a donation to help me cover my operating costs, you can buy me a cup of coffee. You can find the link in my show notes or on my social media pages. Your support would be greatly appreciated. I would appreciate a 5-star rating if you listen to my podcast through Apple Podcasts. And finally, if you have a story idea, please contact me through my social media. A link to my social media accounts is listed in the show notes. I would love to hear from you. Today's music was The Shield by Hot Dope from Pixabay. This was a Big Papa Rob Podcast 2024. See the show notes for links to the reference material used in this podcast.